Welcome to this week's Tech Wrap-Up. Today, we will look at some of the top tech stories released throughout the week. Firstly, we will take a look at how security has become a big topic for healthcare, and has been for some years. Johan Sormling, Managing Director at Incap Security and Head of Mobile Identity at Signicat, shared with Top Business Tech his beliefs that healthcare has a great deal to learn from other markets, in particular fintech. He believes it's important to think of app users, no matter the app, as consumers when considering how to attract and keep people using healthcare apps. Sormling went on to say that we knew that access to healthcare data was valuable. But the last 18 months has made it clear just how vital access to data is. Governments have used data to make decisions on border control and lockdowns. Healthcare authorities have used data to prioritize vaccination programs and resources. People have been able to use published data to better understand the scale of the pandemic and make decisions on the level of risk that they feel comfortable with. One big lesson of the pandemic has been that sharing health data is good for decision making. Unfortunately, it's also been a bad time for data security. One report suggests that the industry has experienced a 51% increase in the total number of records exposed. From 2019 to 2020, healthcare has also become a big target for ransomware, with Ireland falling victim to a catastrophic attack in May 2021, and Germany being attacked in late 2020. The Vastamo hack was possibly the most damaging of all, with a security flaw in exposing its entire patient database, including email addresses and social security numbers. But the actual written notes that therapists had taken. Healthcare data can be some of the most sensitive information that's held about us, ranging from the mundane to the intensely private. The lesson that some of the public may take away from the last few years is that sharing data is risky and could mean a loss of control. If healthcare providers want their patients to install and use the apps they have created, they may need to look to the success of other sectors to better understand how they can get people on board. European regulators are keen to make mobile health a reality across the continent and have been for the best part of a decade, creating regulations and legal frameworks and funding projects through its Horizon 2020 program. Digital health and mHealth adoption has been patchy. As an example, France has been breaking records for telemedicine and has started trials for a vaccine passport. A new healthcare act adopted in 2019 is looking to expand the country's focus on digital health, improving interoperability, establishing a data hub, and make use of artificial intelligence. Germany has also been doing similarly good work since a change in health minister in 2019 meant a new way of doing things. Elsewhere, progress has been slower. The app designed to help monitor the spread of COVID-19 has been described as a fiasco, while a study from the British Medical Journal found that many mHealth apps lacked privacy controls. One report claims that 71% of healthcare apps have a serious vulnerability. Even as people choose to engage with healthcare apps, there are going to be problems. Not every app will be of the same quality, and the public's perception may be affected by poor quality apps. This is a problem in every sector. Maybe it's time to learn from them. Financial services, for example, is another sector where people have data they want to keep to themselves, and only they should have access. In recent years, there's been a huge shift to mobile apps. 1 in 5 UK customers, for example, now use challenger banks, huge if you consider how young the fintech sector is compared to the incumbent financial sector. For healthcare apps to do the same, maybe it's time to think more like a fintech. What is the secret to fintech success? It's a focus on customer experience. No one should find an app difficult to use or find it confusing. If they do, they will quickly abandon the app for one that provides a better user experience. And there are many alternatives on the market in such a saturated market that will not be hard to find. This attention to the customer experience includes one of the most important parts of any app: authentication. It's also the part where many businesses go wrong. Authentication tells a business that the customer returning to their app is who they say they are. Often this is done with a username and password, but this is notoriously insecure. Many people reuse passwords or use passwords that are simple and easily guessed. But additional security can mean making things more difficult for the customer and turning them away from the app due to a poor experience. Consumers need to both be protected and feel protected. Security needs to be just a little bit visible so that they know it is there and they feel safe. If it's completely invisible to the point that customers do not know if they're protected, or if cybersecurity protocols are particularly obstructive to the user experience, then users will walk away. So how can mHealth apps solve this problem? If mHealth apps want customers to both be secure and feel secure in their apps, they need to start using some of the techniques that have been proven elsewhere. They need to use two-factor authentication. Consumers increasingly expect this level of protection, and many are now demanding it. If you have entered a code sent to you by text, then you have used two-factor authentication. But this is not the best way to do it. SMS text messages are not secure, anyone can send them, and they can be used in what's called a man-in-the-middle attack to take over an account. Luckily, there's a solution thanks to where the app exists in the first place. Smartphones are smarter than ever, with face and fingerprint recognition common. Integrating these makes two-factor authentication easy for the consumer. Plus, the data that the smartphone has access to, such as location, means that there can be far more confidence that the person using the app is who they say they are. Any app that wants to be successful needs to look beyond its own sector for best practice. For consumers, their banking app, games, and mHealth all exist on the same device. One tap away. We believe that mHealth apps cannot rely on their usefulness alone if they want customers to return to them. They will expect any app to achieve the same level of accessibility no matter if it's offering pure entertainment or advice for good health. mHealth apps are not competing with other mHealth apps, but with every other app on a customer's device. Next up, we will look at how Connected Curb is disrupting the residential sector. We caught up with Isabel James, head of residential at Connected Curb, who detailed how the EV charging point provider transforms old and new properties to meet the growing demand for e-verses. Electric vehicle sales have been breaking previous records every year for the last 5 years, according to IEA. In 2020, electric car registrations shot up by 41%, despite a 16% downturn in car sales during the outbreak of the coronavirus pandemic. This took the number of electric cars on the road today to 10 million worldwide. This demand shows no sign of slowing down. One organization meeting this demand head-on is Connected Curb, which has been deploying its EV charging point infrastructure across the country and disrupting the EV industry with its passive infrastructure. We caught up with the head of residential at Connected Curb, Isabel James, who discusses the company's success in the residential sector. James has been in the EV industry for 5 years, having worked for Char.gy and Podpoint, and today heads up the residential team at Connected Curb. "I just fell in love with Connected Curb's products and the meaning behind them," says James. She adds that the business is currently in a very exciting position, as Connected Curb focuses on relationships and infrastructure over the industry standard of a 3-year hardware sale. "We want to create smart infrastructure for our customers which delivers more than EV charging capabilities. More bang for your buck, as I say to my customers. This includes the ability to integrate IoT sensors or fast fiber. For example, where possible." James believes that this market disruption is a chance to show customers how EV charging solutions can add value for all types of developers or property managers. For this reason, it is perhaps unsurprising that Connected Curb swept up several awards last year, including Evie's Award for Best On-Street Charging and Best New Product or Service, 2020 Cambridge Wireless Award for Most Innovative Startup of the Year, and Schneider Electric's Award for the Net Zero Homes Program. In addition to these accolades, James adds that the company has made strides in the last year in the residential sector. "Residential wasn't here a year ago, so the customers that we're now engaged with, some of the largest developers such as Barrett Developments PLC, Berkeley Group, Retirement Villages, along with many more, who love our product and what we do. So given how far we have come in a year, I think you will see huge waves from us in this sector moving forward." James likes to split Connected Curb's solutions into two groups. One group is the modular design, made up of products that all sit on the same base infrastructure: node box, power ducting, power cables, and a charging point, and a non-modular group, which developers can use for individual new build homes. "I would describe the modular design as an IKEA-esque model. As long as you have that base infrastructure, you can then change the top socket, making it both scalable and flexible. This is key for developers in deploying a solution." James explains that there aren't many options. For example, for a tenant who lives in a large apartment block with parking in the basement, "we can support managing agents in putting a scalable deployment in place that doesn't break the bank for them or their residents while also increasing the property's value. Additionally, EV development can attract new residents, as there will come the point in the market where if a resident is presented with one property that is EV-ready and one that is not, the resident will opt for the future-proofed one. Building from this, it is important that EV charging points are deployed in a resident's property, as it is not only convenient and cost-effective for residents, but commercially viable for property managers and developers. Your car sits still for 95% of its life, which is a shocking statistic to most people given how expensive cars are. James explains. This is prime time for charging, providing another reason why homes must have EV charging stations so that residents can come home, charge their car, and continue with their evenings. This 30-second process is the most convenient way forward, as property managers can then offer smart tariffs for overnight charging. Additionally, there's less requirement for a huge power upgrade into those sites because you're using a lower-rated charger along with having load balancing capabilities. In addition to the convenience, there are loads of unique points that make home charging the most desirable option. And this is a benefit that is available to those who do own internal combustion engines vehicles. According to James, e-versus will ultimately become the standard. All new build homes with a driveway will need an EV charging point installed, so why shouldn't that be the same for existing residential properties? We're striving for equality through accessibility by supporting managing agents to provide the infrastructure so that residents have an EV charging point that is accessible for when they make the change to electric. James emphasizes that there needs to be a higher level of consultancy available to managing agents, as there is not enough information available to them. We try really hard to support them. A managing agent wants a solution that works well, is reliable, hassle and stress-free, and is commercially viable to ensure ROI. She adds that installing a charging point can increase a property's value from between 1% and 3%, which is a statistic that often influences property managers in deciding whether to deploy a solution. This is a no-brainer for new builds. For retrofits, however, the developer has already handed the property over to the managing agents, so we support them with discovering private funding options and how best we can support them, be it via maintenance of the points and deploying a tariff to cover that, or simply by providing a thorough education of how the system works to understand the ROI timeline. James notes that Connected Curb is transparent on its time frames regarding return on investment. Transparency is the most important thing in the residential sector, as we are the experts. But the best way to get our infrastructure out there is by creating more experts. You can only achieve this by being fully transparent and providing a full education. Connected Curb's team looks at the needs of the property and its residents and the finances available before deploying an end-to-end bespoke solution, ensuring that each solution is tailored to suit the needs of each property. Connected Curb offers an infrastructure solution for businesses that strives to be cost-effective to install and built to last. This allows organizations access to long-term and cost-effective EV charging as they learn about users' behavior and charging habits, and how to leverage smart technologies such as IoT sensors and 5G. The Office for Zero Emission Vehicles is a team working across the UK government to support the transition of zero emission vehicles. It has three types of grants to support organizations in uptaking EV charging points. Another option to reduce costs is the government's super deduction tax. From the 1st of April 2021 until the 31st of March 2023, companies investing in qualifying new plant and machinery assets will be able to claim a 130% super deduction capital allowance on qualifying plant and machinery investments, and a 50% first-year allowance for qualifying special rate assets. The super deduction will allow companies to cut their tax bill by up to 25p for every £1 they invest, ensuring the UK capital allowances regime is amongst the world's most competitive. There is also a home charging scheme for on-plot deployments. In 2022, the government is extending this to support managing agents. It's going to be a very exciting time for property agents in gaining further support to put EV points on their properties. Lastly, Connected Curb can offer funding, leasing, financing and profit revenue share options to support an organization in making e-versus as convenient as possible, also enabling a business to leverage expertise to gain reliable ROI and revenue generation analysis to discover the financing option that works. Connected Curb places customer satisfaction at the heart of its operations, even long after installing a charging point. We're doing something that is genuinely very good, be it for people, for the environment, and for the product itself. We ensure that this is the same when we work with clients. We work on the mantra, be nice, be nice, be nice, as customers mustn't feel neglected. It happens too often where a customer buys something. They get all the attention in the world during the sales process. But as soon as a seller has installed it, they don't hear from the seller again. We want to get away from this and build on our relationships with our customers, supporting them long after installation. Connected Curb also provides demos on site and runs competitions for residents to win e-versus for a month or access discounts on EV subscriptions. We try to include something extra to make things a little bit more fun for the residents. James emphasizes that when it comes to finding an ideal client, we will work with absolutely everyone because charging needs to be ubiquitous. James references Connected Curb's work in Lambeth. Lambeth wasn't about putting charging points into really high-end estates because they could be the highest adopters. It was about ensuring that everyone has accessibility, as everyone is going to need charging points. There is no perfect customer. Everyone has requirements, and we will support anyone and everyone how best we can. This culture of good extends across the whole company and includes all employees. James notes that she would not want to work anywhere else. Having worked with both larger and smaller companies in the market, she feels that Connected Curb shares her ambitions and supports her passions outside of work. I play football, and Connected Curb is sponsoring my football team. Connected Curb really supports employees. When asked how the EV market would change in the coming years, James laughed, "I'm going to need a bigger team." The next decade will see a drastic shift in Britain's personal mobility, and housing developers are responsible for driving this change. In its Energy Research Economic Study, Aurora predicts that the number of cars on the road in Great Britain will grow to 17 million by 2024. James forecasts that e-versus will become as commonplace as ICE vehicles around 2037 to 2040. In the next 10 years, the used car market will become saturated with earlier model e-versus as early adopters look to upgrade their vehicles, making e-versus more affordable and thus more attractive. However, she also believes that the inconveniences of driving ICE vehicles, such as ULEZ charges, congestion fees, and the need to travel to a petrol station, will also eventually persuade drivers to transition to EV. As the world continues to see an uptick in EV adoption, she urges ICE vehicle drivers to try EV, even if it is not a logistical or financially viable option to change yet. Our partners do monthly schemes, which make it more affordable. I would definitely recommend that everyone tries it just once, even just a test drive. She goes on, with all new build homes having an EV charger built in, this transition will be eased. James adds that in certain cities such as London, the average mileage for a driver is 30 miles. This means that drivers will only need to charge their cars once or twice a week instead of each day. As James looks to the coming year, her personal goal is to work with the top 10 developers in the UK to deploy Connected Curb's infrastructure and be their preferred supplier. For Connected Curb itself, the demand for EV infrastructure is huge, and with a product so scalable and a team so ambitious, nothing is stopping us from meeting this demand. Lastly, we take a closer look at the important role technology is expected to play in reaching the world's net zero goals in the next few years. During the recent 26 Colombian Pesos conference, Prime Minister Boris Johnson launched an international plan to make clean technologies the most affordable, accessible, and attractive choice for all globally in each of the most polluting sectors by 2030. While the UK looks to reach their net zero goals by 2050, policymakers and business leaders face a clear opportunity to contribute to this ambition. Businesses play a major role in our everyday lives, and each business process has its sum of energy required to produce its service or goods. As mentioned by Deloitte UK, as of today, the transport and heavy industries sectors tend to be the biggest users of energy, and therefore the biggest greenhouse emitters. But to be successful in our ambition to reach net zero, as a business community, we need to reconsider the carbon in everything we consume. One of the biggest ways companies can decrease their carbon footprint is by using various renewable energies and clean technologies to enable climate ambitions and support economic growth. A few examples of these technologies include solar power. Solar energy is sustainable and inherently more sustainable than fossil fuel energy sources. As a way of converting the sun's energy into electrical energy, solar panels make use of the single most sustainable resource on the planet, the light of the sun. Wind power, generating energy from the wind, does not release any carbon emissions. By replacing electricity generated from other sources such as fossil fuel power stations, wind energy can lead to an overall reduction in carbon emissions. Organic solar cells. The UK's Carbon Trust believes that low-cost organic solar cells can be made efficient enough to win commercial success. It backs a project that aims to use printed rolls of these cells to provide safe lighting in parts of Africa and India. Carbon capture and storage. Carbon capture and storage can reduce carbon emissions from gas and coal power plants, cement producers, and other large emitters by up to 90%. Smart lighting. The phasing out of inefficient incandescent lighting in favor of fluorescent bulbs, which are 80% more efficient, is just a part of the story. Smart lighting is a rich area of innovation, with hundreds of small organizations developing new ways to supply developing countries. Companies such as Sustainable Technology and Solutions Center can assist businesses in becoming more sustainable by always providing new and innovative energy and water-saving solutions. Businesses need to be provided with a platform to educate and inform clients on creative renewable energy and sustainable technology solutions, allowing them to see the products physically, discover their carbon, cost-saving benefits, and find solutions for their requirements. Strategies to prevent, decrease, and replace destructive greenhouse gases are great ways of dealing with a company's emissions. However, a lot of the technology costs too much and has its environmental impacts. To address these issues, businesses also need to start thinking about carbon offsetting as a way for them to neutralize some of their emissions. Various offsetting projects help by supporting local economies and funding work that is making an impact. Companies such as TreePoints make having a positive climate impact quick and easy through supporting offsetting projects, planting trees, and removing plastic from the oceans around the world. To hear more about this topic, join Top Business Tech and our panel of experts on the 30th of November for our upcoming webinar. Our panel will look at the technology that assists businesses in becoming more sustainable, and some of the ways technology has also negatively impacted the planet, accelerating the need for renewable energy action. And with that, Top Business Tech would like to thank you all for listening to this episode of the Weekly Tech Wrap-Up. If you enjoyed this podcast, please sign up for access to Top Business Tech's premium online and mobile content, including the latest global trends, news, and insights. Our online publication allows you to access unlimited credible knowledge and information daily through written articles, podcasts, and webinars. To do this, all you have to do is visit www.tbtech.co.